Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, my friends, and welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures each and every day of the work week. Made a point to really emphasize that today. That's like what I've, you know, that's the tenets of the show. What do you talk about in your podcast? Well, I describe it as the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Oh, that came up last night at the broadcast radio podcast class at Aquinas College, where I teach as the adjunct professor. The class is, they're getting their groups set up for the podcasting project, which they have to come up with a show. So they're all split up into pairs now. And yesterday we discussed the names of the show. One show is called Off Topic. Another show is called Man Cave. Let's see. Man Cave. What else was there? There was, I don't know, something about the editing room. Another one is called This Is Not Easy. I'm not sure. I don't remember them all. There is 1, 2, 3, 4. I think five podcasts that are being made by the students. And that's one of the things, excuse me. And I stress to them, I go, early on in the show, like right near the beginning, I want you to have something in the vein of a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Kind of sets the table, if you will. And so we kind of broke that down a little bit. Ben Glaze says, this is not easy, like Eric Zane easy. Sure, just have everybody on there that's not me. Nick says, it's a professional way of saying I talk about whatever I want every day. Yeah, I guess so. And then I think that those shows, at least two of them, like The Man Cave and Off Topic, I got the impression that that's the type of show that they're going to do as well. Conversational style. Bob says that the podcast that his friends and he were going to start was going to be called The Podcasting Couch. You know, a lot of people say that the name of the show should like grab people. And yeah, I guess doesn't always work that way. I don't think I have it in me to come up with the name of a podcast that's catchy enough to make people want to listen to it. I'm kind of relying on my handsomeness. Rebecca says, how was class last night? I was a little bit out of sorts, and I could feel myself running out of gas on the day. The way the week went last week into this week, I didn't nearly get enough preparation time to be able to have everything ready to go that I would have liked to have talked about. So that's like a less offensive way of saying I was a huge pile of shit. And I actually was warning Dr. Avery. I go, yeah, I just want you to know. It was kind of a nutty week for me. Because Pooh Bear had to go, and I was alone without her there. So it's just different in the house. It's a dynamic where I have to, I'm spread that much more thin with what I need to do if she is not there. Then you add into the mix Bruce's illness, which I will update that in a moment. And that really took the steam out and ate up most of my... I mean, I was at the emergency vet clinic for 7 hours on Sunday. Not to mention 2 hours in the middle of the night to go there. So, yeah, class starts at 6. And by 7, I'm out of things to talk about. So, thank God Dr. Avery sensed that, because she was able to come up with something to help it along. And it ended up working out. But this gave me some excellent perspective as to how prepared you have to be to actually talk in front of students and conduct a class. The amount of time that I prepared for that class yesterday got me about as far as it could, because I didn't have enough time or energy or effort to prepare the class appropriately. Maureen says, do and ask me anything if you run out of things to say. Always fun. So let's get into Bruce here. My guy, the way it worked out yesterday was, they go, all right, Bruce can go home. And we're going to have you. And I go, all right, I'll be there at 10 after 4. And the plan was go there, and I needed Pooh Bear to meet me there. Pooh Bear is going to bring Bruce home. I'm going to go from the vet right to the college. Class starts at 6. By the way, it was a bad feeling when it's 7 o'clock in the class, and I actually turn to Dr. Avery, and I go, that's it. That's all I got. She's like, oh, boy. So I'm driving over to the emergency vet place where Bruce is. They're going to release him. They're going to tell me follow-up care. And in case you don't know, they went ahead and they looked at Bruce with the internal medicine team at this vet. This is the vet that there's nothing inexpensive. You're either going to get emergency care after hours, which is ridiculous, or specialized care. Both. I did both. I did the emergency care with specialized care. I talked about it yesterday. They gave me an estimate. They go, all right, on the low end, this is going to be $4,800. On the high end, it's $6,500 to care for your pet. I was like, what? Huh? What? Pooh Bear says to me yesterday, when she was there, she goes, are they going to ask about the bill? Because I cannot handle that. No one in the family has even brought it up. Everybody in this house knows that Blue Pearl should have dollar signs around their sign. But no one in the family said, what was the damage? And then Pooh Bear says, okay, when I pick him up, do we owe any money? Are they going to present me with dollars like a bill? Because I can't handle that. I'm like, oh, dear God. I go, it's, don't, no. The doc, while he was looking at to see what the hell is the matter with him, we still don't know what was the matter with him, with Bruce. They found something unrelated, and it's a tumor on his spleen. And they go, okay, it might not be cancerous. Doesn't matter. It's got to come out. So we're going to schedule that surgery. Now, that's probably another $30,000. They go, we also want to do get a little sample of it to determine if it is cancerous, because that's going to, we'll have to adjust our plan. So that's another $80,000 for that test. Actually, it's $80,000 to get the sample, and then it's $150,000 to get the results back. Megan asked, did Darla's attitude change when he got home? Yes. She perked right up. Becca Shea, pets are expensive and you have five? Well, first of all, I have six, and I didn't think about that when I got them. So anyway, Bruce says that sample taken, we'll find out more, but yeah, we got to schedule the surgery. Badger says this is almost as expensive as the fraud bus. And I think it was Jackie who said, so how are you doing? You going to be able to afford this? I go, sell more sponsorships. Sell more sponsorships. Encourage the audience to bang on the door of the sponsors. That's all I got. That's all I got. And it's gotten me this far, and I know it won't let me down. Bread Bull Brain Chris says seven if you count Kevin. Man Bun Chris says can-do attitude. You got this. Oh, absolutely. I've made it this far. I'm not going to let a vet bill fuck with me. Are you kidding me? I got the best attitude in the world about everything. But they said, all right, we want to have a word with the internal medicine doc wants to have a word with you when you get Bruce. And Pooh Bear, okay, if you put Pooh Bear in front of the internal medicine doc, he's going to make comments and make statements about Bruce's health. And Pooh Bear will be the first to tell you that when the words out of somebody like him leave his or her mouth, she tenses up and she stops concentrating, and the words then bounce off of her. She's the one who told me that this is what happens. So if she, if like my brother-in-law has to go to the hospital or the doctor, and the doctor makes comments to Kevin that Pooh Bear needs to hear, it's not going to work. She's not going to be able to gather that info. So then I'll say, okay, what did the doctor say about Bruce? I don't know. What do you mean? Yeah. He said something, but I don't know what he said. He said something about 2 days to live or whatever the hell, God forbid. So then I'm like, so she goes, you need to get all types of information like that. When it's that important stuff, I rely on you to hear it and process it. That's like the workaround to this, whatever it is that you call this. Is that a girl thing? I mean, there's most women will tell you that there is nothing that a man can do that a woman can't. And I would like to believe that, but it's not true. I mean, that's a lie. Any lady who tells you that anything a man can do, a woman can do as good or better, I think that might be, I'm learning time and again that that is 100% not true. Perhaps this is on display with like driving skills. The fat-a-thon, Chris, Man Bun Chris says. Yeah, the ladies are outgrowing the ladies in Fatathon. The two ladies are bigger than ever. They don't, they're not, they're just, I don't know why. I don't know why this is. Pooh Bear says, you need to hear what the doctor says. I go, all right, fine. Becca Shea says, women need to get their hormones checked. Cole says, women struggle with driving, using logic, and being funny. Now, that's not true. I think women use logic all the time. And I think women are funny as well. Driving, I can get behind that. To me, if you're a lady, you got to prove that you can drive. But using logic and being funny, I don't agree with that at all. The comments in the chat are always funny to me, especially when women comment. Jammy Time Megan always cracks me up. Piano Finger Banger writes, doctor, quote, your dog has a week to live at most, end quote. Pooh Bear's brain, quote, so the lobsters on the Titanic were just returned to nature then? It's time to pick up Bruce. She says, I want you to meet me there. Actually, I said to her, I go, I'll meet you there. I'll listen to the doc. You take him home. I'm going to Aquinas College. Okay. Fine. I don't often drive at that point in the day to like the downtown area. Beautiful Grand Rapids. This is rush hour. And what a clusterfuck. It is so frustrating. And there were issues on the road. And so I'm taking alternate routes to get where I needed to be. And I'm looking at it. And there's no way in hell that I'm going to get there. So I call Pooh Bear. I go, look, it's not happening. You're going to have to. So she gets the dog, brings the dog home. She ends up saying to me, was anybody supposed to talk to me? And I go, they were. She goes, well, nobody gave me any instructions. It's kind of said, here you go. And so that was weird. A little frustrated. Now, we don't know. This might have been they had a complete list of things for her to do and aftercare for the dog. It may have happened. It may not have happened. I would say there's a 99% chance that they actually spoke to her and she did not retain any of it. Dog gets home. He's not 100%. There's something wrong with him. I mean, he's not out of the woods. They suggested that this pancreatitis may have been what's causing his issue. I know his tummy doesn't feel great because I let him out today and he immediately started to eat like a lot of grass. He was like a goat eating the damn vegetation and he ate a lot of it and he does not want to eat his meal. And I think that's a sign of like an upset stomach. You eat grass, which is so screwed up to me. I think he knows, dogs know that the grass will make them puke and the puking makes them feel better. I think, I'm not 100% on this because all I know is I walked out of the studio and I came back in and it was the biggest pile of puke. Well, it was all grass on the ground here. Now, I keep the carpet extract. You can't see it, but it's right here in the room. I keep it in here ready to go in case of emergencies. Bob says, Pooh Bear didn't get a list of instructions, just like she didn't honk the horn. She would be so pissed off if she saw you writing that. Dog comes home. He's still kind of screwed up. So now the best thing to do when you drop $5,000 on a vet bill, because I think they said, hey, you got a refund coming. They make you put a deposit down on the estimate, like right in the middle between the low end and the high end. And the high end, the $6,500 was if he spent two nights. So he spent one night, but I gave him $5,000. And I think the lady said to Diana, hey, by the way, you got a refund coming. Now, Pooh Bear has no idea yet of the cost of this. And I won't tell her unless she asks me. But she has no clue. All she knows is when she went there, they said, hey, you got a refund coming. So she's like, yeah. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if she thought that, like, I paid $500 as opposed to $5,000. I kind of want to get her on the phone to ask her a question. Stand by here. Hey, Siri.
Mm-hmm.
Text Pooh Bear.
What do you want to say?
Is there any way you can dip out and call me? Question mark. I want to talk to you about something on the podcast, period. It's all lighthearted, period. Can you do that? Question mark.
Okay, sending.
Alan says break the news live. I would love to. Now, you know me. I take this shit in stride. For all the shit we've been through over the years, this is nothing. It's a blip on the radar. Megan says she's going to spiral, and so is the kiddo she is taking care of. Great idea. Ha! No, I think it is. Oh, shit. Kabooby Rich says, easy, dropping five large in the blink of an eye. That's free beer kind of cash. SCMN Lazio, just subscribe with Prime. Thank you. Megan says, but look at that puppy pile, worth $5,000. I should play this game with Jacqueline, too. That's okay. Period. If you can, comma, later, give me a buzz. Hey, Siri.
Uh-huh.
Call Tacky.
Calling Tacky, mobile.
Alan says we're close to a hype train. Still don't know what that even does.
Hello?
Hey, I'm podcasting.
Hi.
So your mother does not, she gets anxiety at the idea of what the cost is at Blue Pearl.
Okay.
So I wanted to break it to her on the show.
Oh, no.
But I was going to start by like say, hey, how much do you, because when she went in there to get the dog, they said, hey, you get a refund.
Right.
And I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I got the like invoice sent to my email.
Oh, so you saw it.
So I did see it, yeah. I know what it is.
Can you believe that?
Did you get a refund?
They said so, but I haven't seen it yet. They'll probably just put it back on the cart.
Yeah, that's insane. Well, it's like $1,000 minimum for a stay there, like to stay overnight.
So you know I put $5,000 down.
Yeah.
if she found that, like when she, I'm guessing that when they said, because she says to me, she goes, I don't want to know. It stresses me out.
Yeah.
So when she went in there, she got this info about a refund.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing she's thinking, oh, well, that's good. But in my mind, I'll bet you she's thinking that an exorbitant amount of money would be $500.
Right. Well, I think she knew that it's like $1,000 minimum or whatever, but at least that much. Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay.
Is he okay? How's he doing?
He ate a bunch of grass this morning and puked.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah, I'm taking him to see Dr. Josh.
Okay. Today?
Yeah. I think he has allergy issues that are really bad right now, so I need some Apoquil. And that's okay. Always really cheap.
No.
It's like $500 a pill.
I know, it's so annoying.
3:30.
All right, well, keep me posted.
Did you make any money today?
Yeah, I always make money.
You're selling plastic to people.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Are they going to do a chili cook-off?
No, I doubt it.
Are they not doing it because I won?
No, I think we just got a new administrative assistant, and I just don't think we're going to. We didn't last year, so.
That's stupid.
I know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Becca Shea says, did you call her tacky? Yeah, that's like a nickname. She is tacky. She's very tacky. She's the most tacky on the planet. Cole, who's somewhat, I don't know, his pragmatic attitude makes me want to punch him in the throat. Cole strikes me as the guy, the piece of shit, who if the dog, like Bruce, he's 8, he'll be 8 in December. If he were to go and they said, yeah, it's going to cost $5,000, he'd say, fuck that, just put him to sleep. Oh, fuck it, I'll just do it myself and, like, shoot him. That Cole in Colorado Springs strikes me as that guy. That type of hill jack, you know? He writes, dropping $5,000 on an 8-year-old dog. Thank God she's an overpaid teacher. I like your joke, but I still think you'd have killed the dog. All right. Maureen adds, ask your regular vet if he can do the surgery cheaper. Perhaps. I'll bring that up. He just got all the... It's an internal medicine thing there, though. And I think that the way it works is the vet at the place we go is, you know, kind of like your general doctor, your general practice physician that you may have. And you get specialized care at Blue Pearl with dollar signs on the sign. And they just actually, at Blue Pearl, they just moved from one place to the other. This brand new, decked out, amazing building. God. The ladies, that would be N-word Maureen and Jammy Time Megan, are discussing the Slaughter the Turks chili. The Slaughter the Turks chili, it crushed at Jackie's chili contest at work. Everybody ate it. I won the prize. Everybody else at the workplace made their own chili. I made it for Jackie, and it won. They go, and the winner is Jackie's dad. If every time I bring it up, that means I got to put it in the show notes of the podcast. It also won on the show Chili Cook-Off that we did at the American Legion, which I did win, but it would have looked bad if I won my own Chili Cook-Off. So I didn't win. I think we gave it to Sexy Voice Andrea, who probably seasoned it with vag cheese. It wouldn't surprise me at all. How much work is involved with this legendary chili? Not much. It's really an easy recipe. It's just the blend of ingredients. that makes it spectacular. I also have a historically great white chili, which has a little bit of spice to it, a little bit of kick in the white chili. All right, so Chris brought up to me, soccer guy, man bun Chris brought up to me, hey, how are you doing? You're going through a lot of stress. And he's right. In fact, yesterday when I was on my way to the vet, which I didn't make it there because of the traffic, I realized at 4 p.m., hey, it's your old pal Eric Zane for Secret Nature, makers of ultra-premium CBD gummies. And I'm going to tell you how you can take advantage of a special offer to save you 30% in a minute. But let me share this with you. You know that I've got about a million things going during any given day. And I just recently discovered Secret Nature to help me keep it all together during the day and help me wind down when the day is done. Ultra premium CBD gummies from Secret Nature. Crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to support your day with clean, purposeful functionality. I want you to try Secret Nature Ultimum Premium CBD Gummies. Organic, farm-grown, not made in a lab. You can try Bliss for clear focus and productive flow. That's what I use during the day. And Snoozers to unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Take it from me, I keep it all together during the day with Bliss. And when it's time to relax, sometimes my mind is going a million miles an hour from all of the things that I've done during the day and the things that I have to do on the next day. That's when I'll take the snoozers to unwind. You need to try Secret Nature Ultra Premium Gummies. And here's what I want you to do. You can get 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. And then let me know how it goes. Again, get 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature that I had not eaten. I forgot to eat. I had not eaten since the day before at 8 p.m. Now, I'm all about the fast, as you know. Every day I fast. But 20 hours, and I thought, I can probably go like 24, 25 here. That is the technique, at least to start, that Jeremy, weight loss Jeremy, used to lose what is now 100 and, I don't know, nearly 130 pounds in 1 year. So I'm like, God damn it, I haven't eaten. But I stopped after I went to the college and then got picked up my parking pass. And then I had time, so because I got there early. Class doesn't start till 6. It's like 4:20 at this point. I go, I'm hungry. And I go into this Family Fair grocery store that's right in that neighborhood. And then I realized that as I walked into there that I am in a black neighborhood. And I figured that out because everyone in there was black. So I don't know about you, but I think it's, and I don't, it sounds racist as hell. But when I walk into a place and I'm the only white guy, I have to, I feel intimidated. I feel like someone's just going to walk up to me and beat my ass. Now, that's ridiculous because that's not going to happen unless if I talk to anybody and I say something stupid, which happens all the damn time. But I walk in there, and this is a hard living line area. And I'm going somewhere with this because I'm not only am I making an assumption with what I just told you, but I think that there's an assumption that is being made by the grocery store chain. Now I walk into there, and they've got those Adirondack chairs. those really comfortable ones that you lean back and, you know, you walk in the first set of doors and they got those Adirondack chairs and maybe like various things you can actually buy in that vestibule area. And then another set of doors and you're in the store. Well, there's four homeless guys sleeping in the Adirondack chairs. And it was at that, and they're all black. And I go, that's when I realized that I was in a black neighborhood. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So, Stevie says the family fair on, Fulton HLL, you can spit and heat and hit East Grand Rapids from there. Oh, I know that. I know that. But this definitely had a vibe of Hard Living Line. And that's because I just walked in there and I'm telling you that there's four homeless guys asleep in the vestibule. Now, if that is not a Hard Living Line area, you would not find four homeless guys asleep there. Joe Martinez says they are the workers. I don't believe that. I walk in, and this is a small store, and it looks like it hasn't been updated in forever. Black Belt Nick says it's checkerboard, Hard Living Line from block to block there. All right. And that's the first thing that made me think that there's racism going on here. If a chain does not update the store, it's racist. So this thing's ancient. They're not updating it. They're sinking no money into this thing. So I'm like, what a pile of shit, you know? And I've heard that in a lot of black communities, there's these, and sometimes they call them urban deserts because retailers won't put up a store. So I'm like, well, at least they got a store, you know, but it's not good. Badger says it'll turn into a save a lot. Becca Shea says, right. I don't know what she's saying right to. Megan says, is it worse than the family fair at 20th and Baldwin? A million times worse. I'm serious. I walked in and it was like 1975. So I'm going to get some water. I'm going to get some gum to get rid of my coffee breath. And I'm going to find this sub sandwich. Thank God. Because I think I could have died. I was so damn hungry. David says the family fair Jennison is an old nasty store too. Not like this. That's the one that Jammy Time Megan is talking about. Then I go to check out. Now, this to me was the biggest reason why I think that this was a racist store. And I deduced this in my brain. And if I'm a black person, I'm offended by this. No self-checkouts. There's people, you got to go through a line and a person has to, you know, you put it on the conveyor. They have to scan it. I have not seen a store anywhere in America in years that doesn't have self-checkout lines. So one of two things. They either refuse to update the store because they're a bunch of racists, or they're saying that they don't want to give people the opportunity to steal through a self-checkout line. That's my thought. Am I way out of touch? Am I way off base with that? So I had to wait in line. I mean, now it's not the worst thing in the world because there's workers there who are doing a job. Probably more jobs available. Black Belt Nick says, I think the family fair on Northland Drive doesn't either. Ben Weller is here. He says, Dollar General had self-checkout and quickly eliminated them. They took off right away or theft took off right away. Get the sandwich, go out, destroyed the sandwich, and off throughout the day. Piano Finger Banger checks in and says, I just moved to downtown Detroit and joined the Y. Every time I go there, I'm surrounded by jacked black dudes and the occasional babe. It's an amazing place. That's awesome. So you're out of Nashville now. Yeah, a lot of people your age are moving to places, are moving to places like Detroit. All right. Do the class, come home, and I pigged out. All the fasting I did was ruined, and here's why. Because this was one of the worst binges that I've ever gone on. If I don't turn my act around the rest of the week, I'm going to be like Rebecca or Amanda, and I can't have that, so I am focusing because I had that sub to eat and I had nothing else. I got home and this is a problem because I walked by the freezer and I raided the NFK's food. Now, this is going to blow your mind as to how much food I actually consumed and what it is. So the freezer is where he keeps all his frozen food and he's got these Jimmy Dean's hash browns. And then inside of the hash browns, they're thick too. Inside of the hash browns, you've got cheese and bacon. They're stuffed hash browns. And it even comes, each individually wrapped, with like this contraption that you put the frozen hash brown into. It's like a sleeve. And you put it in the microwave. And then through some type of magic, after like a minute and 10 seconds, it's perfectly cooked. And crispy and ridiculous. So that vanished in seconds. When I started to eat that, I also grabbed a Jimmy Dean's croissant with sausage patty, egg, and cheese. And I put that in the microwave so that as I finish the hash brown, it's time for the second course. That comes out, and I destroyed that. So now you're talking probably, I don't know, 300 calories each. Then I open up the freezer, and we've got those Snickers ice cream bars. Gone. That's probably another 300 calories. So now I'm sitting at 900 calories. Up to this point, I probably had 500 or 600 calories in me from the sub earlier. I'll just say 550. Then I went into the pantry and I raided the NFK's Chips Ahoy. And he had about 8 cookies left. So those were mine. Along with a glass of milk. I'll throw the milk and the cookies at least another 650 calories. This is at 9 p.m. Pooh Bear had recently gotten this bag of kettle corn. And I finished that off. That was another 250 calories. So before bedtime, I had 1,800 calories. On top of the 550 that I had with the sub. And that's right about what I should eat for one whole day. But it's not supposed to be that type of food. You know, shit. It's supposed to be, nutrient-dense foods as opposed to you know, stuffed hash browns, Jimmy Dean's croissant sandwiches, a Snickers ice cream bar, Chips Ahoy with skim milk, and three or four cups of kettle corn. In fact, I was so ashamed of that this morning that I was like, yeah, you should probably talk about that on the show. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. People are going to think I'm a fucking idiot. Here I am now discussing that with you. All right. So Chris had said to me, man bun Chris, he said, easy, how's the stress? You know, this is a lot of craziness. And I'm like, yeah, I take it in stride. I didn't respond to him, but I am now. And with all the things going on, because today now I have this show. I have my show with Christian at 2 p.m. I have the dog appointment at 3:30 p.m. I have the stuff surrounding the dog's health is kind of burning on my brain. And conducting business here with the show. It does add up. So what do? The best way that I have over time figured out how to handle this is work more, nap less. I'm not kidding you. So if I don't take a nap, I get more done. And the more that I get done, the less stress that I have. Nick says, big fraud book club still? Absolutely. But things are being moved around on the burners. See, I have several burners going, spinning plates. But there are things that do get moved around, and I don't have anything scheduled for big fraud book club. By the way, what is the name of the book that you're picking again? I think it's called, it's a fantasy book. It's a fantasy adult fiction, which some of you are going to say, fuck that. The Way of Shadows. Jammy Time Megan says, did we talk about The End of Martyr? No, not yet. I haven't read The End of Martyr. I promise you, when things settle down, book club will pick back up. And we have easy podcast reviews of documentaries, too. Haven't even thought about it yet. Things are probably going to get busier for me. And honestly, I actually had a conversation today. And this was a conversation I had. I talked to Bernadette Joyce over at Catholic Charities West Michigan, because I've been thinking to myself, you know, I think we'd do okay. We would be good at being a foster family. But the only thing that's keeping me back is how busy I am. As Alan writes, rest in peace, Big Fraud Book Club. That is not true, okay? It's definitely not RIP. I don't know why you keep saying that. Would you shut up? I reached out to Bernadette and I was talking to her, and Maureen says, has Bernadette ever listened to this podcast? Absolutely. In fact, when I was talking to her today, she goes, hey, can I ask you a personal question? I go, yeah, what's up? She says, why do you call your wife Pooh Bear? And I go, oh, well, because she's a Pooh Bear. I don't know. I've always called her that. Joe Martinez says, Big Fraud Book Club, I give it a year at the most. Well, that's like more than what most people give me. All right. Amy writes, regarding the book Martyr, I'm 75% there and I'm still confused. Black Belt Nick says, yeah, the ending is a slow burn. Megan says haters. Yeah, there are haters in the chat who just love to take a huge dump on everything we do. Joe Martinez is the one of the kings of dump. He's always dumping. No matter what I'm talking about, he's going to take a huge dump on it. Alan, he's taking a dump on it. Joe says, like the Detroit Lions, they get your hopes up and break your heart. So I'm the Detroit Lions now. Okay, you heard it there, folks. I am the Detroit Lions. I'm going to get your hopes up and then break your heart. I don't think anybody in this audience has ever had a broken heart over anything that I've ever done. All right. Well, in addition to being super annoying, Joe is also very pumped up about his Michigan Wolverines, who, I don't know. I don't know how this year's they're definitely got some questions that have not been answered yet with them. Black Belt Nick says the new book is going to REZ be the Big Fraud Book Club. Anyway, Badger is talking about the foster kids. What I was thinking about is I think I would like doing that, but I was talking to Bernadette from Catholic Charities, and I said to her, I am interested in this, but I can't do it right now. She goes, well, you should at least find out about it. Just sit down and, because there's a pile of information. There's a lot of information that you have to kind of like process. So you should at least do that. I go, all right, I can do that. So I am actually going to do that. I'm going to sit down. Pooh Bear and I are going to sit down with Bernadette, and we're just going to be like, okay, tell me about it. What's going on? How does this work? And I told her that friend of the show, friend of the family, Tim Kuypers, Tim and Chris Kuypers, and their son, Zeke, how, because Tim reached out to me, he said, EZ, I'm a great resource for being a foster family because we did it for years before we finally decided to adopt Zeke. So I told Bernadette about that. So Tim is going to kind of be like the bridge between Catholic Charities West Michigan and this show. Megan says, do you have to be Catholic to work with them? No. That's just a name of an all-encompassing charitable organization that helps all. Can you imagine if that were me, though? You can also, you know what else you can do at Catholic Charities West Michigan? You can offer respite care. So that's something else. That's different than foster care. Respite care is, let's say, some kid walks out of the family fair and, somebody like runs over mom and dad. And the kid's like, oh, my God, my mom and dad, they're in the hospital for 6 months. And they would put the kid, possibly, if they look into it, into respite care. And that would be us, where it's not like there until the foreseeable future. There's actually an end point. Okay, the most you can go on respite care is 2 weeks. Badger says you have plenty of room in a kidney-shaped pool. So I'm using this as an opportunity. If you want more information about my friends at Catholic Charities, you can reach out to Bernadette Joyce through Catholic Charities West Michigan. To do that, you go to bjoyce@ccwestmi.org, bjoyce@ccwestmi.org, or you can call them at 616-915-4695, 616-915-4695. While I have you here, I have not yet mentioned my friends at Impact Power Sports who sponsor the studio of this here program. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com for more information on a Yamaha golf cart, perhaps an e-bike, an e-bike, a scooter, motorcycle, side-by-side, ATV, UTV. They have it all at Impact Power Sports. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. They're in Rockford, Michigan. Buy now, refinance later with the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Did you know you can get a 15-year fixed for about 5.5% right now? Reach out at 231-332-6505. And if you're in a 30-year, which is probably like about 6.5, when the rates drop down to like 3 or 4, refinance your 6.5% 30-year mortgage to a 15-year mortgage. 15-year mortgage at 3% from a 6.5, you'll be paying about the same amount, but half of the term, and you'll save thousands in interest. Buy now, refinance later with the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage, 231-332-6505. I'm going to kick out the folks on Facebook and YouTube. So there you go. Black Belt Nick says, do adoption to or just foster? I'm going to try to decipher that. I'm assuming you're asking if Catholic Charities offers adoption. And I don't know, but there are several great agencies in West Michigan who do. All right, Facebook fans and friends and YouTube, I'm kicking you out, but thank you. Okay. Easy. I'm going to use a restroom, so stand by. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with more. Make sure that I loop the damn music so I don't have an issue like I did yesterday. It's always so embarrassing. There we go. Stand by. Our amazing chat is discussing things. Black Belt Nick says, did yesterday's show ever end up working? I left after the third freeze. Yeah, you're not alone. It did. I don't know what was going on there, but it doesn't seem to be cropping up. And I'm not even entirely sure that it was a Twitch issue. I mean, it's an easy way to say it, but there's all sorts of things that I have to utilize to get what I do to Twitch. I have something known as, it's boring, Streamlabs. So it's this platform that does what is happening, and then it sends it to Twitch. And it might have been a problem with that. I don't know, man. It's one of those things that just happens. But on the audio podcast, I just edit that all together. Piano Finger Banger talks about the University of Michigan got bent over a 7-Eleven dumpster by the Oklahoma Sooners. Now, I had a conversation with our pal Joe Martinez, who's the world's most annoying Michigan fan. And in that conversation, I was talking about how the Lions look so bad that they might not win a game this year if they look that bad. Or maybe the Packers are that good. I guess that could be. But they stunk. No doubt about it. As awful as Michigan. So I think the difference in with the Lions losing the way they did, I can't, I'm having a hard time thinking that they're going to be that great. You know, you have a bad loss like that and that affects you. You're like, oh God, at least for me. Joe still thinks probably that Michigan is going to win the national championship because he's kind of like a dumb fuck. Now, Michigan hosts Central Michigan on Saturday. Now, it's probably not going to happen. Michigan is probably going to win that handily. But if Central Michigan does beat Michigan, we're going to rub Joe's nose in shit more than we did with the fact that Oklahoma jail sexed Michigan over the weekend. Now, fucking Joe can come in here and do his Chihuahua, Michigan, he rule, we're great, we bow for no one, senor. I'm a fake Mexican that doesn't even speak Spanish. Yay, 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 yay. He can do all that nonsense. But you still suck. The team is shit. And if they lose to Central Michigan, you know, it's just going to be ridiculous for you. Murder lover Linda is here and says Aiden Childs from Michigan State is the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week. Yeah, he's a quarterback. He was spectacular last week against Boston College. Murder lover Linda says that Michigan's coach, I forget his name, black guy, is suspended against CMU. Sharon Moore. There was a Monday night football game last night, and I don't want to get too into it. I don't like to get too in the weeds on sports stuff. But this is ridiculous because, okay, from a standpoint of a Lions fan, the Lions lost their offensive coordinator. His name is Ben Johnson. So that guy was with the Lions. Everything was great. You know, every time, everything he did turned to gold. And so like he's calling all the offensive plays and creates the offense. So good. Huge amount of success. He leaves and becomes the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Coincidentally, first game with the new offensive coordinator against Green Bay the other day, they sucked. So people are like, oh no, here we go. So this is his first game as a head coach of the Bears, and they lost yesterday, and they lost in a horrible way. All right? And so they're winning the game. The Bears are winning the game in Chicago. It is, I think, 17-6. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.